All right. Good evening, everyone. That's a bit better. It's Wednesday night, and we're back for 2026, and so we're so glad that you're here this evening, and we're looking forward to just getting to some sort of normal over the course of the next couple of weeks. And I know many people who've been traveling are slowly coming back, and hopefully we'll get back into a good schedule of things as we get our year underway. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 27, and we'll look at a couple of just thoughts here tonight. And we're going to take just a little bit of time this evening talking through Jacob. And, we're at the beginning of the year, and perhaps you've started to think about what this year will bring. Maybe you've evaluated all of your successes from this past year, all your mistakes and different milestones perhaps that you've accomplished. And we might even look back at all of the different situations that God has used to bring us to this point in our journey for Him. And no doubt, as I look around and as I consider my own year that it has been, there's been many things that God has done in my life and has taught me. And yet, as this new year dawns, we're not only thankful for what God has done, but I hope that you're also thirsty and hungering for more of God's blessing on your life. It's often a greeting, but do we mean it when we say, have a blessed year. I hope for blessings for you this year. And really here we have two brothers who were striving for the same thing. They were striving for blessing. And in this situation, there was specific blessing of the birthright. And we see that Jacob and Esau were two brothers who were seeking that blessing. And you understand that Jacob and Esau, they were twins. And Esau was the firstborn, really came ahead of Jacob. And as a result, he had the right to that blessing in the first place. And yet, what we understand is Esau mistreated that blessing. He sort of just was a bit blasé about it. In fact, he was so indifferent to it that it only took a morsel of soup for him to sell the birthright to Jacob. And yet, here comes the time where really Jacob is seeking it in a certain way. We know that he deceives his father Isaac. He dresses up like Esau, and he dresses, he puts he puts some animal skin on his forearms, and he feels him, he's a bit hairy like Esau. He deceives, Jacob deceives Isaac that way. He puts on Esau's clothing and he prepares the venison like Esau does. And we know the story here in Genesis chapter 27. Isaac, instead of giving the blessing to Esau, gives it to Jacob instead, being fooled. And so when Esau comes back, he's seeking for the same thing now. Now we know, again, he had a bit of an attitude that was a bit blasé toward the blessing, the birthright. And now he's seeking for the same blessing. Look at verse 34, where we'll begin reading. So Genesis 27, look at verse 34. Isaac's already blessed, given the blessing to Jacob. And now Esau comes along and realizes that the blessing's gone. And here's what he says: and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. So he's recognizing that in that first place, he sold it for that pottage. And now, through deception, he's gained the blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept, and it was too late. And you know, it's amazing, you think about the year ahead, and perhaps you've prayed a little bit for God to bless you this year. Maybe there's some specific things that you're seeking him for. And I don't think it's wrong for us to seek for a blessing from the Lord. I think that we ought to ask him, and we must remember this evening that we have a Heavenly Father who's the one who gives perfect gifts, that he's one that knows our needs and knows what is needful for us. And you know, in seeking him, God says that we ought to ask, and God will bless, and God will answer, and so forth. And I think sometimes we've got to shift the mindset a little bit to know that we can seek for things from God. And certainly that was the case for both boys. One did it out of deceit. One did it a little too late. And really later on, we're going to see that there was a certain heart that Esau had that caused him to miss that blessing. But I want to just get your attention really on just some principles here about just that blessing. Because here's what they missed within that. Both really God had a plan for Jacob. We know that the Bible says that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, and eventually it all fell within God's will. But both were seeking for blessing, but neither sought for the Lord. And here's the thing, you know, sometimes when we look at the year ahead and we're looking at what's to come and we're seeking for God's blessing, we can sometimes go a certain way, and we might approach God a certain way and miss really the point of blessing. And the point of blessing is not merely to gain from God. The point of blessing is really to actually gain more of God. And that was the point. You know, this birthright was not just a practical blessing of all of the inheritance of the family. It was connected to a covenant and an agreement between the family and God. So ultimately, this blessing was really God himself and his favor and his presence in the life of the one being blessed. And you know, too many times when we look at our lives and we're asking for blessing, we're asking more for the result, not the one that's actually giving us that gift. And again, look at Esau's attitude. He says again, "Bless me, even me also, my father." And yet, what we know about Esau was he never sought God. He was someone that really didn't have a real heart for God. We know that and how he lives his life later on. And the blessings, firstly, I want to say we often seek are just the material things of life. Just material results. Just perhaps a turning over of a circumstance. And even Jacob himself, he wanted the blessing. He wanted the birthright. He was intent on gaining that over his brother. But just like Jacob and just like Esau, we sometimes want to scheme for success and plan for comfort or chase some sort of accomplishment. And yet here's what God is looking for. God waits for surrender, not strategy. See, Isaac's trembling realization that we read there when he realized in verse 33 that he was deceived. He was just a fragile person who had his plans dashed, and now Jacob just comes running in. And we've got to get to the point where we've got to surrender the outcome and surrender the things that we're hoping for. And rather than seeking for those things, we've got to seek God himself. And what I'm saying is his desire was for those things, but really his heart wasn't right. And he longed for the birthright, both boys, both Esau and Jacob. But they sought it through their own means. They sought it through their own manipulation. And what that said was this: they weren't seeking God himself. And although God foretold, really, and ultimately gave Jacob the birthright, his manipulative ways, it was something that God was going to deal with later on. It was never God's method of blessing him. And what they wanted what God could give, not yet God, who God is. And they sought to obtain by their own craft, by their own power, really what could only be given by God's favor and blessing. In Romans 9:13, again, we read it as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And this whole concept of the birthright and blessing in biblical times, it's rooted in the culture and the legal traditions of ancient Israel. And the birthright, known in Hebrew as Bechorah, it was a significant part of family inheritance and leadership, and it was mainly linked with the firstborn son. So the entry of this in the Bible, it really gives us a better understanding of the birthright and just the great responsibility that it actually entailed. But listen, that birthright had no other significance if it wasn't a seeking for God himself. You see, the problem with Esau was in Hebrews 12:16, and where the Bible tells us about Esau's character, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. The Bible said he was profane. That means he was wasteful. That means really he didn't have a solid priority or a real heart's desire for that. It was selfish. And he was saying there that that's why God never really intended for that blessing to go to Esau. And you know, when we seek for blessing, we've got to understand our own motive in it. What's our heart? What's our motive for it? Why do we even ask for that? And why do we even desire it? And ultimately, the answer should be because we want more of God. See, God had already rejected Esau for his own reasons. And Jacob, he should have taken the opportunity to simply trust that God will do what he said he will do. And yet what happened was both, really, they sought for the wrong reasons. The blessings we often seek, we seek for those material things, but do we really seek God in all of that? But really, what God wants is there's a breaking that precedes blessing, because later on we know that Jacob runs away, he gets a family, God starts to give him wisdom to be able to raise good cattle and a good drove, and now he finds himself a little unsettled in his father-in-law's place, and so he's trying to travel back. And here's the problem: in the past there was the issue with Esau, and it's about to come to a head. So go jump forward now to Genesis chapter 32, and really Jacob now is wrestling with something. He's wrestling with the problem of Esau. You know, because he manipulated his way to the blessing, there were some consequences to it. And there were some things that now he needed to deal with. Now God was going to bring it to a head. Look at Genesis chapter 32 and read with me here. Here's Jacob now. And Jacob is all worried about meeting Esau. He concocts a plan, and here's what happens in his night, in that evening before he had to deal with it. Look at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And so Jacob finds himself all concerned, and rightly so, worried about what Esau's response was going to be to him. And what Jacob didn't know was he wasn't merely wrestling with the problem. He was wrestling with who God is. He was wrestling with the very thought that God was the one that was pressing him forward. And what God had to do, he had to break him before he could bless him. And notice that, again, there was a wrestling. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, I'm not a wrestler. There's some of you, you're into your Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And I know some of the young adults, the undefeated champion in our church is Shada, by the way. They're all trying. But I've never wrestled, but I've watched people wrestle. And I'll tell you what, watching it looks tiring. But you imagine wrestling with someone all night. You imagine the stubbornness that Jacob had to have before God could break him. And you know, I think many of us, when we're seeking for blessing, we don't add it up to then God has to do something in our lives. We just want the result, but actually what God wants is the process. God might want to bless us, but God will put us through a process in order for us to be broken enough so he can bless us. Because what happens is God here in this situation is trying to get Jacob to understand that he can't continue to manipulate himself out of the situation. He can't continue to manipulate himself out of the problem that he has, and he can't continue to manipulate himself into the blessing that he thinks he deserves. And so he wrestles with Jacob to break him. And you know, many times we think we're deserving a blessing. We think we can handle blessing. But actually what God is interested in is preparing us for the blessing. And part of that is he's going to need to wrestle us, and he's going to need to break us where we need to be broken so that we can then handle, and we can then be prepared, and we can then be in the right shape to be able to handle that blessing correctly. And God meets Jacob here in this situation, not as someone to comfort, but actually God comes as an adversary to confront. He was trying to get him, Jacob, to this struggle, to help him understand that you know, he wasn't in the shape that he needed to be to continue on in this journey. And what God will do is, so often when we ask for something, ask for a blessing, he'll give us something else. He might give us a struggle. He might give us something that we're going to have to endure through, and it's going to really shape us and misshape us and reshape us into something that we're going to be where we're able to take on what we asked for in the first place. And you know, that might come in the form of a trial. That might come in the form of discipline. That might come, but you're going to be different after it. And what I want you to know is that struggle that you're going to undertake for you to be prepared for the blessing, that's not God's punishment. It's actually his purification. It's the way in which he's going to allow you then to be a vessel meet for the master's use. And Jacob wrestled until dawn. He had to persevere through it. He had to go through a sense of desperation. And true breaking comes when we're willing to wrestle through the night seasons until light breaks through. You know, we're living in a society where we want things to just work out the way we think they should work out. You know, we ask God and it should happen this way. And listen, it might happen that way, but are you prepared for it? Can you receive it? And what God was doing for Jacob, Jacob had asked for some deliverance from Esau. He wanted to be free of the consequences of his past. And what God was saying to him, no, Jacob, you're going to have to be changed if you're going to do that. You're going to have to go through a process of breaking. And that breaking, not only is it purification, not only is it part of the process, but I want to tell you that it's actually God's proof in your life that he's touched your life. It's proof. You see, he touched the hollow of his thigh. You know what God was doing? He was breaking Jacob's strength. That whole idea of the thigh is it's a part of your body that actually is important. It gives you the ability to lift and to lift yourself. It gives you the ability to be able to be self-sufficient in a way. It symbolizes a person's strength. And what God did for Jacob was he had to break him in order to bless him. And God crippled him. You know, sometimes what God will do so that we're aware that it's not us, it's him, is God will sometimes cripple us in the very place we feel most capable. You know, you might think that you have a certain strength and, you know, you're known for that perhaps. Or you know in yourself that oh, I'm really strong in that. I have a discipline in that. And God might just break you in that and cause you maybe to even fail, cause you to maybe even make a mistake, cause you to not have to rely on that. Why? Because God will cripple us at times in the very place we feel most capable. And here's why, so that we can learn to lean on him. And so often, that's how God does it. And the question is, are you willing for God to touch your strength this year? Are you willing for God to maybe even break you if you want that blessing? And sometimes his greatest blessing begins with really that holy breaking. And breaking precedes blessing. But really, blessing, that blessing changes everything. Because what happens is suddenly Jacob's cry, it shifts from taking from God to clinging to God. You see, he wanted to take, you know, in blessing, we want to take some things from God. We want him to give to us. But so often God's blessing actually looks like it is when we stop taking from him, we're now just clinging onto him. And Jacob's cry shifts from that. He no longer now demands the blessing of success. Now he's got no choice but to surrender. And it's not the blessing of prosperity, but the blessing actually of a new identity. Because here's what happens. Look at verse 27. He asked him, right? He said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. So this is after the breaking. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, supplanter, deceiver. But he changed his name to Israel, the prince. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You know, many people, and myself included, I'll pray for power. I'll pray, God, give me power for, and whatever that is, power for the day, power for this. And so often what we're really praying is we're really praying for God to change us. God to then prevail in us. And what happened was Jacob's identity was what God was after. He wanted to change him. He wanted to change him from this man who thought in his own power he could do it to now having to rely on God. And now he has true power with God and with men. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. And this real encounter with God resulted in a different identity for Jacob. You know, I find that in people. You perhaps you've known someone who they got saved. And you know who they were to who they've suddenly become. And you know, God is the one who just changes not only the whole course of your life, but the very core identity of who you are. You know, if you have a true encounter with God, you're not gonna remain the same. And for Jacob, he became Israel, and we know him now, the father, the 12 tribes, not of Jacob, but the 12 tribes of Israel. And he was to become a conduit of the promise that was given to Abraham, that their family was going to become a father of many nations. And this deceiver now had become a prince, and the struggle that he had to go through turned him into a worshiper. And this runner who ran away from his problems now had to limp. But was it worth it for him? Because now he'd seen God. And I think many times the reason why we don't really have power with God and with men is because we're not willing to be broken and be crippled by God. We want our strength. We want that area of comfort. We want that to be what we lean on. And God's saying, no, I want to change you. I want to bring you, and you might look different, you might even feel different. And hey, Jacob, you might even limp now. What I want to tell you, but now you're no longer Jacob, you're now Israel, you're now a prince, and you're going to have power with God and with men. You know, so often our prayers consist of comforting. And I'm not saying it's wrong. But so many times when really the call is for us to be changed, we're not uncomfortable to pray that prayer. And Jacob's identity, it shifts from being this one who's a deceiver to now someone who's receiving. Because then God blesses him. The blessing of transformation outweighs the blessing of transaction. And what we've been so often in our mindset and my own is we're looking for a transaction from God. We want him to deposit into our account. We want him to increase us. And God's saying to us tonight, no, the process of that is this transformation. You know, for us as a church, if we're going to fulfill our potential for God, God's going to have to put us through some transformation. God's going to have to break some things that we thought we were so strong in. But actually, no, we need to limp. We need to learn to limp. And we need to learn to be different and to be broken and to have a new identity. And God didn't just change Jacob's circumstance. God changed Jacob himself. Now, are you ready for that? You know, we want more of God, but are you ready for the breaking? Are you ready for a change in us? And the greatest blessing for the new year is not found in what God gives us, but actually in who he makes us to be. See, the burden of the blessed is this. Because in verses 31 to 32, and as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. And notice this, and he halted upon his thigh. What that meant? He dragged it. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. There was a remembrance of that. And here's the point. There's the burden. There's some things that are lasting. And here's what it is in summary. Every true encounter with God leaves a mark. It leaves a mark. It's something that's evident. You can't wrestle with God and walk the same. And he limped in his tomorrow, but he was a new man. And what's the cost? See, it's a picture for the believer entering perhaps a new year, a new season. And here's what it is. You're weak in self, but you're stronger in faith. You're scarred, but you're surrendered. You're limping, but you're blessed. And you know, sometimes it's the limp that reminds us that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And the mark of blessing is not our independence. The mark of blessing is our dependence on him. And so as we stand at the beginnings of a new year, let's let our cry be, Lord, don't just bless me, change me. Don't just provide for me, purify me. Don't just give me a new year, make me a new man. And let's be like Jacob here, where we hold fast to God in worship. We hold fast to God in the things that we're concerned about. And in doing so, he goes through a breaking, but at the end, he gives us the blessing that we truly need. Let's pray. Father, thank you for